Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Okay.
What's now opening AC?
You are unmuted.
I was told counsel wanted to see me.
Please.
Okay.
All right, so the court, please.
You are unmuted.
All persons have any business before the Honorable Beverly Cannoni, Justice of the Norfolk Superior Court, and for the County of Norfolk. Draw near, give your attendance, and you shall be heard. God save the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. This court is now open. You may be seated.
Good morning again, counsel. Good morning again, Ms. Reed.
Good morning, jurors. We thank you for your patience. Once again, we worked out something here this morning rather than having you watch us over at sidebar. So we appreciate your patience. I do have to ask you those questions. Were you able to follow the instructions and refrain from discussing this case with anyone since we left yesterday?
Yes.
Everyone said yes or nodded affirmatively. Were you also able to follow the instructions and refrain from doing any independent research or investigation into this case?
Yes.
Everyone said yes or nodded affirmatively. Did anyone happen to see, hear, or read anything about this case since we left yesterday? Everyone said no or shook their heads.
Thank you. May we have Ms. Hartnett, please?
I'll remind you, you're still in the room.
Yes, thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Go right ahead, Mr. Lessie.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Ms. Hartnett, and welcome back this morning.
Good morning.
Your Honor, if I could please have Exhibit 145 that is in evidence published.
Yes.
Mr. Wolk. Ms. Hartnett, you will recall discussion about the taillight from the Lexus that was discussed on both direct and cross-examination yesterday?
Yes.
And you recall the discussion with regard to the weather that was in existence on or about January 29th. I'm not going to go into it at all. I just want to sort of refresh and reorient to where we were on that topic. You recall that?
Yes.
And I am now going to reference specifically the what you referred to yesterday, I believe, as the inner part of the taillight, sometimes the inside of the taillight. Do I have that parlance correctly?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you. So my question is, did you find any sand or salt or any other debris in the inside portion of that taillight?
No, I did not.
Now, and you can take that down. Thank you, Mr. Wolk. You recall discussion about shards of taillight? Do you recall that discussion at all in your testimony?
No, I'm sorry, I do not.
Okay. I wasn't certain whether we had that parlance. So my question is, to your knowledge, was there any testing of any taillight alleged to have been found at 34 Fairview for biological material?
No, there was not.
And could you just please state what your definition is inclusion when you refer to biological material?
Those items were not processed in the criminalistics unit for any type of biological, meaning they would not tested for blood, semen, saliva, or a skin cell collection.
I'm sorry, I missed the last part that you...
Or a skin cell collection.
Now turning and changing topics, there was a t-shirt and a hoodie of the decedent. Do you recall that?
Yes, I do.
And are you okay with my parlance of t-shirt, the yellow or orange t-shirt on the one hand, and then the gray hoodie sweatshirt? Is that an acceptable parlance for you?
Yes.
So with regard to those two items, if I could, Your Honor, have published what is already in evidence, Exhibit 151 and 150, and Mr. Wolk, if we could please put those side by side. Alrighty, so is it correct that what's on the left is the right sleeve of what we refer to as the hoodie, and on the right is the, what color would you like to call that t-shirt?
Orange, please.
All right, so the orange t-shirt. Is that what we're looking at up on the screen?
Yes, so it's the right sleeve of the gray hoodie and the back of the orange t-shirt.
Thank you. Am I correct that you included a handwritten note on your report that you found, quote, debris from each of these two items, or from these two items collectively?
I don't handwrite notes on my report, so I'm just confused about where you're asking that.
Okay, I'll ask a different question. Hopefully it will be clear. Did you find debris on either of those two items of clothing?
Yes, I performed a debris collection on each of those items and combined them.
I'm sorry, it's not your fault, it's mine. There's a HVAC noise I can't hear. If you
so can we turn the air conditioning off, please?
I'm okay with it.
I can speak
it.
Up. I'm
if you
sorry.
Can speak up a little, I don't want to
of
discomfort
course.
People. Can you move the mic?
Yes, I can speak up. My apologies.
If you could speak a little louder, that'd be great. Thank
yes.
you. Yes. Can you repeat your answer, please?
Can you repeat the question? I apologize.
Sure. Did you find debris on these articles of clothing?
Yes, I took scrapings from each of these items of clothing and combined the debris, yes.
With regard to scrapings, can you describe how the term scrapings relates to these two items of these two items that are on the screen?
Yes. Scraping is the mechanism I use to remove any debris that was remaining on both the sweatshirt and the t-shirt. I held each up over my lab bench. I took a long metal spatula and scraped any debris that was on these items into a small glassine packet.
Is it correct that you do not know where the debris came from specifically, other than it came from one or both items of both of these two items?
Yes, that's correct.
So the debris could be from just the hoodie, it could be just from the t-shirt, or it could be a combination of the both?
Yes, the items were packaged together, so they were already commingled. So there was no way for me to determine which debris came from which item, and it would be misleading to label them as such, so I combined them.
Exactly where my next point was going to go to, thank you. And my next questions. So what, if anything, were these two items contained in when you got them?
They were contained in a brown paper bag, and they may have been contained in a larger box, but I don't remember off the top of my head.
So when you got them and you saw them for the first time, using your term, they were commingled together, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And was there any debris in the bottom of the bag?
There may have been. When I examine something on my bench, I also shake out the bag to ensure that nothing is left behind and that everything is examined and accounted for.
Now, am I also correct that there is no description of the actual debris that you found? For example, you didn't specify whether it was little fibers, little hair, little pieces of this or that. Do I have that correct?
Correct. I did not do any examination on it. I just packaged it.
And therefore, you didn't note whether any of the debris was a plastic or a plasticine nature, correct?
Correct. That would not be part of my analysis.
And there was no marker put on any part of the debris that was recovered. Is that also correct?
I label the debris with an item number. I'm not sure what you mean by marker, if that's what you mean.
Parts of debris, in other words, there wasn't separate identification or markers for separate pieces of debris.
No, I did not separate out the debris.
There was no photograph taken of the debris?
Not by me, no.
Do you have knowledge of whether there was a photograph taken of the debris by anybody?
I do not.
So you have, as you sit here today, you have no knowledge that there's a photograph of the debris?
That's correct, I do not.
When you received the hoodie and the t-shirt, that's depicted as 150 and 151, they came in together, commingled with some debris at the bottom in an evidence bag. Is that correct?
I'm not sure if there was debris at the bottom of the bag. What I can say is that there was debris on the items and I did shake out the bag. I don't have a memory of anything coming out of the bag. I don't know.
So there could have been debris at the bottom of the bag when you shook it out, you just don't recall?
Yes, correct.
If we could, Your Honor, please have Exhibit 154 already in evidence published. Okay. And let's keep it there for a moment, and then I'm going to ask Mr. Wolk for you to zoom in. Ms. Hartnett, do you recognize this generally, and then I'm going to have it zoom in so you can read it, as an evidence bag?
Yes.
Now, Mr. Wolk, could you please zoom in, starting from the top, so that Ms. Hartnett can fairly read this? And if you could, Ms. Hartnett, just take a moment to read it, and then I'm going to ask you some questions, but I want you to have a fair opportunity to read it. Let me know when you're done.
Okay.
And if we can then scroll down, Mr. Wolk, so that Ms. Hartnett can fairly read the rest of what's on there.
Okay.
Thank you. Now, Mr. Wolk, if you could just leave it where it is now. With Your Honor's permission, I don't see a need to keep the lights off, can have that on,
okay,
but if Ms.
Great.
Hartnett
lights
needs
on,
it,
please.
You'll just let us know. So, is this the evidence bag that the t-shirt and the hoodie were in when you received those items?
To the best of my recollection, yes.
(Clears You see the name of collected by someone there. Can you read who that states it was collected by?
Yes.
And state what that is.
It says TPR Proctor.
And are you able to conclude what the TPR stands for?
Generally, we use that to abbreviate trooper.
Right. So that is former Trooper Proctor that it says collected by, correct?
That is what's written on the bag, yes.
And the date of the collection, if we can just, Mr. Wolk, just focus in on that. Thank you. The date of the collection is January 29th, 2022, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Is it a fair conclusion from this evidence bag and your experience on the matter to conclude that Trooper Proctor was, former Trooper Proctor was the person who collected the evidence and put it in the bag?
I have no knowledge of who actually collected it and put it in the bag. I can only read what I see on the monitor.
In terms of, and we, if we could, Mr. Wolk, please take that down and put back up the side-to-side images and depictions of the T-shirt and the hoodie. Do you know the journey, if you will, of those two items before you receive them?
No, I do not.
The debris that you ultimately saw on the hoodie and the T-shirt, and that which may or may not have also been additionally in the bag, do you know where that debris would have been picked up from?
No, I don't know the source of the debris.
And you were not provided with information as to the potential source of that debris, correct?
No.
Were you aware of whether or not the debris, excuse me, whether those items had been on the floor of an ambulance or a floor of a hospital?
No, I did not have any information like that.
Is it important to maintain the sanitary condition of evidence generally to avoid contamination?
We do our best to avoid contamination once we receive items into evidence, yes.
And what are some of the protocols that are used to avoid contamination of evidence, generally?
Generally, wearing gloves, putting items in packaging, bleaching any materials or utensils that we're going to use, or using disposable materials, sterile materials when possible or necessary. We also wear lab coats when processing evidence.
Is another protocol or technique to separate out pieces of evidence to prevent cross-contamination?
Sometimes we will separate pieces of evidence. If the items are already mixed in with each other, then the items are kept together, can be kept together.
Do you know the chain of custody of either the hoodie or the T-shirt?
I only have record of the chain of custody from when it was delivered to the lab.
So before any delivery to the lab, you do not have knowledge of the chain of custody of either of those two items?
No, I just know which detective unit dropped the items off.
And which detective unit was that?
Norfolk Detective Unit.
What I would like to now do is to, we could now take that down. Thank you, Mr. Wolk. I want to sort of speciate, if you will, separate out the evidence that you have talked about so far so that it's clear what you submitted and what may have been submitted by others to the lab. Do you understand that concept generally?
Yes.
Thank you. So what I'm going to do is to give categories, and if you would be kind enough to say, I submitted it by some other person, that would be helpful. Any items that were collected from the vehicle, who submitted those to the lab or brought them to the lab?
I did.
The swabs from the red Solo cups.
I submitted the swabs.
The drinking glass that you were presented with at Canton PD.
I submitted that item.
The two clothing items that we just saw on the screen, the hoodie and the t-shirt.
Those were submitted by the Norfolk Detective Unit.
Were there also any fingernails that were part of the investigation and that you had knowledge of?
Yes.
Describe what those were, please.
Fingernails may be collected at the medical examiner's office, and there are clippings from the top of the fingernails of the victim.
And were those submitted to the lab?
Yes.
And by whom?
By the Norfolk Detective Unit.
And the phrase known blood standards, are you familiar with that phrase?
Yes.
Can you tell the jurors, please, what that means?
A known blood standard is a sample of blood that is collected from an identified person.
And which person were those known blood standards related to your knowledge in this matter?
We received a tube of blood that was identified as belonging to John O'Keefe.
And with regard to the fingernails and the known blood standards, who submitted those to the lab?
The Norfolk County Detective Unit.
So am I correct to conclude that for those items that you submitted to the lab, you knew sort of their journey, if you will, but that those items that were submitted by, you, I think you referred to as Norfolk County, was that your parlance?
Yes, correct.
You don't have knowledge about those other than that they were submitted by them?
Prior to them arriving at the lab, correct. I have no knowledge of where they were stored or anything like that before that.
And no knowledge of those items not submitted by you would include no knowledge of the chain of custody of those items, correct?
No knowledge prior to them being received into the lab. That is correct.
Your Honor, if I may have a moment, please. Okay. It'll probably be 30 to 45 seconds. Thank you.
Bear with me, please.
So the questions I have for Ms. Hartnett at this time, thank you for answering my questions, Ms. Hartnett.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Brennan, any redirect?
Yes.
You mentioned that you had an opportunity to observe a paper bag that had red Solo cups in it?
Yes, that's correct.
And the red Solo cups had a coloring of red in the cups?
Yes.
You'd never seen blood preserved in cups like that before?
Objection, Your Honor.
To the form. Sustained.
Had you ever seen blood stored in cups like that before?
No.
Do you know the circumstances of storing that blood?
Can you rephrase that question, please?
When the blood was stored in the cups, do you know the circumstances?
Sorry, Mr. Brennan.
Your Honor, objection. Can we have a sidebar, please? It's important.
Okay.
Coloring in those cups, do you know firsthand what that comprised of, what the item was?
Are you asking me if I knew what the contents specifically of the cup
yes.
were? No, I do not.
And so the red cups with the red spots stored in them, do you know the circumstances surrounding the effort made to try to preserve that evidence?
Can you just be more specific in what you mean by circumstances?
Sure. Do you know where those red cups came from?
I was told they were collected from the scene. I don't have firsthand knowledge of the collection.
And you weren't at the scene that morning, were you?
No, I was not.
Do you know that what the circumstances or the challenges were that morning?
No, I'm not aware.
Have you said that you respond to active scenes and sometimes, like in this case, after the event happens?
Yes, that's correct.
Is there a difference when you're at an active scene as opposed to when you arrive at a scene that is past the event?
I would say multiple units are working at the same time, attempting to document, preserve, and collect evidence.
You were asked a few questions about the top back of the Lexus SUV.
Yes, that's correct.
When you were first asked the question, you were asked if you had studied that area, and you said you didn't recall if you looked at that area.
I did look at the area. I looked over the entire vehicle, but I didn't know anything specific in that area, no.
When you say you looked over the entire vehicle, did you look over the back of the vehicle as well?
Yes. The only part I did not look at was the roof of the vehicle.
Did you study all sides equally? Did you spend time with the entire vehicle?
I believe I made an effort, yes, to look at the entire vehicle.
When you studied the back of the vehicle, not the right side or left side, the back, middle, did you find any hair?
I did not note any hair, no.
Did you find any scratches?
The only scratches I noted were ones that I had spoken of previously on the right.
When you looked at the left side of that Lexus, did you find any dents or scratches?
Nothing that I noted, no.
Did you find any hair on that side of the car?
Not that I noted, no.
Did you find any dents, scratches, or hair anywhere but on other than the right side quarter of that Lexus?
I did not note any. I also did not examine the interior of the vehicle.
You said that you removed the hair. What do you do after you remove the hair?
The hair is placed into a small glassine envelope, then placed into a larger manila envelope, and then I signed and sealed it, gave it the appropriate case number and item number, and then secured it in our storage room.
Can that hair be further tested?
Yes.
Is that something you would do or a different person?
I don't perform testing on the hair. I performed a microscopic examination of it, and then additional testing can be performed by a different unit.
Let me ask you some questions about where you found the hair. You saw the two different angle pictures yesterday that you described?
Yes, I saw two pictures of that hair yesterday.
You were also shown some video where the car had snow and ice on it. Is water a conduit? Does water ever act as an adhesive?
Objection, Your Honor.
Watch the form of the question.
Okay. Why don't I show you a similar video that you were shown yesterday, but we've clarified it so it's more clear. I'm going to ask you to take a look at video 125. Okay. Can we stop that, please? And can you see that's 5:51:54 p.m. on 1/29/22?
Yes.
When you first saw this vehicle, it didn't have that snow on the right back near that taillight, did it?
Objection, Your Honor.
Ask it differently, Mr. Brown.
When you saw this vehicle for the first time, did it have that snow packed into the back right of the car?
No, to the best of my recollection, there was no snow on the vehicle when I saw it.
And the hair where you found it, you see the red back taillight, the piece of red that's showing?
I do see that, yes.
In reference or relative to that red, was the hair to the right, left, below?
I don't recall at this time.
Okay. Do you see the ice or snow on the right side quarter panel of that Lexus?
I don't see it on the quarter panel. I'm not sure what you're speaking okay. of.
If we could move that video forward, please, to 702. And then to 749, please. Stop. Go forward just a little bit, please. Stop. Okay. There's still remnants of snow. Did it look like that when you first saw it?
No, I believe I did not see any snow on the vehicle when I saw it.
You could fast forward, please. Thank you. You can take that down. Thank you. You were asked if you had any information about when the damage occurred.
Yes, that's correct.
And you offered us, you have no idea, right?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'll allow that.
No, I do not know when the damage occurred.
You were asked whether or not damage existed on that car prior to that day, prior to January 29th, 2022. You remember that question?
Yes.
Did you know there are Ring videos of that car from January
28,
2022? No. I want to show you some photos and ask you a few questions. If we could have 147C, please. If you could close up. Do you remember what that's a picture of or a photograph of?
Yes.
What is it?
That is a tear that was on the right sleeve of the gray sweatshirt.
The threads coming from the side of that hole?
Yes.
Those threads, could you pull those threads and pull them out by hand if you wanted to?
Can you repeat that question?
If you pulled on those threads, could you pull thread from that hole if you wanted to?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'll allow that.
I don't know. I didn't attempt to pull at them at all.
Did you examine them to see if they were woven or loose, those threads?
Yes.
Okay. And what were they?
They were loose. The fibers had started to separate up from the shirt. Separate and weave. I don't want to say they were separated from the shirt completely. The weave was starting to separate.
If we could have photograph 57. Are those the red cups that you saw?
Yes.
And what color is the fluid inside?
I noted there was red-brown stains inside.
Okay, and do you see that white object, the rag or the paper towel?
Objection, Your Honor. Scope.
Yes, sustained.
Well, you were asked about who, you can take that down. You were asked about who had custody of items. You only have custody of items once you receive them, right?
Yes, that's correct.
if somebody had access to that rag and dipped it in those cups and then smeared it on the taillight, and you went and tested, would you potentially be able to find that red liquid on the taillight?
Objection, Your Honor.
It's sustained.
If strands of cloth were pulled from those clothing and placed in the taillight area, would you know when they were placed?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
When you get to a scene and you examine an area, if you don't see it firsthand, is there any way you can date when items are placed on an object?
I'm sorry, can you ask that one more time, please?
Sure. When you look at an area like a taillight, if you found blood or cloth or another item in that area, would you know when it was placed in that area?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'll allow that.
I think there are really just too many variables to say either way.
And if an item like blood or cloth was placed in that area, is that something you would be looking for in your examination?
In which area?
Say the taillight, for example.
If there was an object placed in the taillight, would I be looking for that? I'd be looking for any item evidence. I'm not specifically looking for anything. I'm just looking for anything that would potentially be evidence.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Anything further, Mr. Lissy?
Briefly, Your Honor.
If we could, Your Honor, have 147 C republished. Would it be acceptable to move along if Ms. Gilman, oh, you have it? If we could have Ms. Gilman, I have just one question, Your Honor. Thank you very much, Ms. Gilman. 147C, I believe.
Okay, I think you already had it up there.
No, it's this one, yeah, okay. Exactly. Thank you, Your Honor. Do you recall Mr. Brennan asking you just moments ago a question about this depiction?
Yes.
And to be clear, this is the right sleeve of the gray hoodie, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
You didn't perform any analysis of this area of the right hoodie, did you?
I performed damage analysis on each of those tears on the sleeve.
Right, but you didn't perform an analysis as to the source of that item, what it could be, correct?
Can you rephrase that question, please?
Sure. You didn't do any analysis of what could have caused that hole in the sweatshirt, did you?
No, I did not.
No further questions. Again, thank you for answering my question.
Your Honor. Ms. Hartnett, you are all set.
I wanted to correct something from the record yesterday. I wasn't sure when was appropriate to do that.
Okay. Do you recall which lawyer asked you the question?
Yes. Mr. Lessie asked me the question.
Your Honor, are we going to proceed along that?
So why don't I see you outside?
Thank you.
All right, so Ms. Harnett, I am going to let you step down because questions from both sides are completed.
Okay,
so
thank you, though.
Okay, Mr. Brennan, who is your next witness?
Next witness is Dr. Scotty Bella.
Okay.
May I?
Yes.
Thank you.
Why don't I see counsel at sidebar, please? Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Aaron.
All right, Mr. Brennan, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning. Could you please introduce yourself to the jury?
Good morning. My name is Irini Scorribello. That's spelled IRINISCORDI-BELLO. I am a medical examiner employed by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
How long have you been a medical examiner for?
In the state of Massachusetts since December of 2016. In general, I have been a medical examiner since 2008.
Did you attend medical school?
Yes, I did.
Where did you attend medical school?
I completed medical school in New York City at the Mount Sinai School of Medicine, now known as ICANN School of Medicine.
Did you attend a residency?
Yes, I completed my residency in anatomic pathology at Mount Sinai Hospital.
Is that what you specialized in during your residency?
Yes.
After your residency, did you go right to the medical examiner's office or did you work anywhere else?
After my residency, I completed a one-year fellowship in forensic pathology that was done at the Office of the Chief Medical Examiner for the City of New York, and then I went to work as a medical examiner.
Is there a certain type of doctor you are? Do you have a particular?
Yes, I am a forensic pathologist.
What are your duties at the medical examiner's office?
My duties and responsibilities at the medical examiner's office include performing examinations and autopsies to determine the cause and manner of death in cases that fall under our jurisdiction.
How many other doctors work with you at the medical examiner's office?
I think there's close to 20 of us. I don't know the exact number.
The medical examiner's office, are you responsible for all counties in Massachusetts as far as doing examinations and autopsies?
No, I work, my primary location is in Westfield, Massachusetts, where one of our satellite offices is, and we cover Worcester County and the entire western part of the state. There's three offices in the state, the one in Westfield, the one in Boston, and the office at the Cape, in Cape Cod.
You mentioned that part of what you do is to try to determine manner and cause of death?
Yes.
I use the word autopsy generally without too much detail. Can you describe for the jury what the process is when you're trying to determine the manner and cause of death?
You would like me to explain what an autopsy is?
Please.
An autopsy is a large surgical procedure with two main parts. The external examination, which is an examination of the outside of the body, where we document physical characteristics, such as hair color, eye color. We document any identifying features, such as scars or tattoos, height, weight. And then we also document any signs of disease or any signs of injury on the body. The second part of the autopsy is the internal examination, where we make surgical type incisions on the body and we examine the internal organs of the neck, the chest, the abdomen and the pelvis, as well as the head and the brain. Part of the autopsy procedure, and this depends on the kind of case we're doing an autopsy on, might include other studies such as taking evidence, toxicology, which is done on almost every case, and any additional dissections or any additional steps we might feel we have to take. But that's, in general, what an autopsy is.
Do you ever seek the assistance of any other doctors or professionals that have specialties in your determination in an autopsy about manner and cause of death?
Yes, absolutely. We often, well, like I mentioned before, we perform toxicology on almost all our cases, and those samples are sent to the toxicology state lab. We also have a board-certified neuropathologist and cardiac pathologist in our office, and very often we will consult with them in determining cause and manner of death.
Are cause of death and manner of death the same or two different things?
They're two completely different things.
Can you explain to us what the difference is between the two of them?
Yes. Cause of death refers to the disease or the injury that initiates a sequence of events that ultimately leads to someone's death. So that disease or that injury can be a natural disease, such as atherosclerosis or coronary artery disease, or it can be some sort of injury. The manner of death has to do with the circumstances that led to the death. So there are five manners of death that we use in our practice. The most common one is actually natural. Natural means that the person's cause of death, the disease that killed them, was due to natural causes. And that would include heart disease, diabetes, cancer. All those are natural processes that take place in the body that lead to death. And so the manner of death is natural. If trauma or an injury is involved, then we have to decide If trauma or an injury is involved, then the manner of death is no longer natural. And therefore, it could be that the trauma was inflicted in an accidental manner, in which case the manner becomes accident. If it was inflicted by another person with the intent to cause harm, then the manner becomes a homicide. And if the trauma, and when I say trauma, I should include both physical and chemical trauma, chemical when it comes to intoxications due to drugs, et cetera. If the trauma was self-inflicted, then the manner of death is suicide. So we have natural, accident, homicide, suicide, and then the fifth one is what we call undetermined or could not be determined. That is when the circumstances in a case are not entirely known or clear to us, and the information that we have does not support one manner of death over another. In that case, we classify the manner of death as undetermined.
When you are conducting an autopsy and making an analysis and attempting to reach a conclusion, you said when you looked at your, in a case, is your case and what you do different than the procedure in a prosecution's case?
Can you repeat the question? I'm not sure I understand.
I can. When you're making your determinations about cause or manner of death, do you have any limitations?
Okay, so the cause of death is something that is determined by the autopsy. That is my opinion or our office opinion as to the disease or injury that led to that person's death. So that is, I don't have any major limitations unless we're dealing with cases where, you know, the body's decomposed and we're not able to do, you know, all the testing necessary. But in most cases, the cause of death depends on my findings during the autopsy. The manner of death, yes, there are limitations because the circumstance, it's circumstance driven. And so the circumstances might not be known to us at the time of the autopsy. They might not be known to us ever. And therefore, while the cause of death is my medical opinion. The manner of death depends on information I get from other people.
Are you always able to reach a conclusion on manner of death?
No, that's why I said that in cases that we cannot, that manner of death is classified as undetermined.
I want to now ask you about whether or not you examined John O'Keefe.
Yes, I did the autopsy on Mr. O'Keefe.
When you examined Mr. O'Keefe, did you work with a team or by yourself?
No, we always work in a team. The team is made up of the medical examiner and a medical examiner's assistant that helps with the actual performance of the autopsy, especially when we examine the head. And then, of course, we work with the toxicology lab and, in this particular case, our neuropathologist.
The medical examiner's office, is that a division of the Massachusetts State Police?
No.
Is it a division of the Norfolk County District Attorney's Office?
No.
Is the medical examiner's office independent?
Yes.
When you conduct an autopsy, are representatives of law enforcement or district attorney's office able or allowed to attend an autopsy?
Yes, they're usually allowed to attend the autopsy if they wish.
Is that an uncommon practice?
No, it's not uncommon.
Would you remember when your autopsy of Mr. O'Keefe occurred?
Yes, I performed the autopsy on January 31st of 2022.
If you have notes,
I do.
I think you'd be able to use them, but we'll just want to indicate that you're reading from your notes, if that's the case. Thank you.
So you can use your notes, Doctor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. When you began the autopsy of Mr. O'Keefe, do you know who, if any, representatives from the Massachusetts State Police or the Norfolk County District Attorney's Office were present?
I don't remember their names. I do believe there were two individuals, and every person who attends an autopsy has to sign a log, and their names would be logged in our records. I don't remember their names.
What is the role of law enforcement relative to the actual physical autopsy? Do they have any role?
No, they're not part of the autopsy. They don't have a role. Their role is to observe. Sometimes they will ask questions. And based on my findings, they might, go on and do their investigation.
Does your office photograph things of interest, like injuries on the person that you're doing the autopsy on?
Yes, we do.
Is law enforcement allowed to take their own photographs as well?
Yes.
Did you, in fact, memorialize your findings in this case?
I did.
Are there a number of different ways in which you memorialize your findings?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I took notes, physical notes, pen and paper. There's a report that's issued within 90 days of the completion of the autopsy, and then photographs, digital photographs.
You mentioned a report is due in 90 days. Is that often referred to as an autopsy report?
Yes.
Why 90 days?
That is the standard that is set by the National Association of Medical Examiners. We're part of NAME, and therefore we try have a finalized report for all our cases within 90 days, because we know that people, families are waiting for these reports, and therefore we do our best to finish a report within 90 days.
Did you in fact complete a so-called autopsy report in this case?
Yes, I did.
In addition to the autopsy report, well, included in the autopsy report, do you make handwritten notations about locations of injuries?
Yes.
And share with us, how's that done? Is there a picture or a graph?
There's a diagram, a body diagram, that we use to mark the location of injuries.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Chalk, not
Yes.
Do you generally recognize what these documents are?
Yes, these are my diagrams from Mr. O'Keefe's autopsy.
And can you just very basically describe each one of them?
Some of them. Yes, the first one is a body diagram. A lot of things have been whited out, but it's the diagram that I would use to make note of any injuries. The second one is a diagram of the face and the skull. I would also use this diagram to make notes as to any injuries on the face. And the third one is a diagram of the inside of the skull, what we call the base of the skull, as well as different views of the brain itself. Again, I would make notes to point out different injuries.
As you are noting injuries in your autopsy report, these diagrams, they start off blank?
They start off blank and then they're filled out as we go along.
And you fill out all the details you find important in your report?
Correct.
For reference, and to assist us, I have some blank diagrams that I may ask you to point out things on the blank diagram for us.
Okay.
And Your Honor, I'd ask permission, I've spoken to defense, to use these simply as a chalk.
Sure.
No objection, Your Honor.
Before you begin an autopsy, do you seek any medical records if available?
Yes. When a case is called into our office, depending on the time and the day that it is called in, our intake department, who are the people initially on the phone taking the information, will start asking for both medical records as well as police reports. So in the morning when we start the autopsy, it's possible that we have some records. Sometimes if a decedent is brought to us from the hospital, there might be some records that come along with the body. But to answer your question, yes, we always ask for medical records, what we call PCP records, which are primary care physician records, any records from a hospital where the decedent may have been, and investigative reports, police reports.
Do you recall whether you had access to John O'Keefe's medical records from Good Samaritan Hospital?
I did have access, yes, in the day, I believe the day of and the following day.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Subject to any later redactions, I would move the Good Samaritan medical records into evidence.
Okay. No objection, Your Honor.
Exhibit 155.
This time I would move for identification all photos of Mr. O'Keefe's injuries at Good Samaritan Hospital just for identification.
Okay.
Exhibit JJ for ID.
Further, this time I've moved for identification all OCME, Office of Medical Examiner photos.
Okay.
Civic KK for ID.
Thank you. One more. Your Honor, this time I've moved all CSSS autopsy photos for identification.
Okay.
May I just have an understanding of the acronym?
With the court's permission, Ms. Gilman, if you could put up the diagram, full body. If you could enlarge that a little more. Thank you very much. Could you explain this to us?
Yes, this is the diagram that we use during every autopsy. As you can see, we note the name of the decedent. Every case has its own number. In this case, it was 22-1697. And then we take note of, as I mentioned, during the external examination, physical characteristics such as hair, eyes, teeth. And then on this diagram, we would note any scars we see on the body, any tattoos we see on the body, any injuries we see on the body, and any therapeutic interventions. Those would be things that are sometimes done either by emergency medical personnel or at the hospital. Everything would be noted on this diagram.
Now, if you could take us through, I'm going to ask you, we'll go body part by body part, if that's okay. I'm going to ask you to begin with Mr. O'Keefe's face, the front of his face. And if you
yes.
could, if you could enlarge that, Ms. Gilman, thank you very much. Did you notice any injuries on Mr. O'Keefe's face? And if so, could you, I think there's a pointer available for you, doctor, if you could
yes.
point out on the diagram what you observed.
So on the diagram, well, first of all, there was medical intervention on Mr. O'Keefe that included an endotracheal tube that had been placed to help him breathe. But once all the intervention, all the medical devices were removed, I observed on his right upper eyelid a 1 centimeter laceration. So as we're looking at the diagram, this is the right side and this is the left side. So on his right eyelid, there was a small laceration. I also observed abrasions on the anterior and the left aspect of the nose. So the nose would be here on the front and the left aspect. Abrasions are scrapes. Lacerations are tears in the skin. I should probably explain that. There was some bleeding and some swelling of the eyelids of both eyes.
Does that complete your analysis?
For the front of the face, correct, yes.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Doctor, I'm showing you a photograph. Do you recognize it in that photograph?
Yes, this is a photograph of Mr. O'Keefe's face.
Does that photograph depict any of the observations or injuries you made that you just described to the jury?
Yes, it shows the small laceration that I noted during the autopsy on the right eyelid. You can see some of the swelling and some of the bleeding over his eyelids. And that's pretty much all I can see, because it's a side view.
Is there an apparatus?
There is an what we call an endotracheal tube, as well as a C collar or a C stabilization collar. That's something that would have been placed on him by medical personnel.
All right, we'll just into evidence and ask for instruction.
Okay.
All right.
So, folks, during the testimony of Dr. Scordibello, photos will be introduced to you. They're photographs of John O'Keefe that Dr. Scordibello from the autopsy. So you'll have them in the jury room with you. I'll put them in an envelope, or I'll ask that they be put in an envelope. So if you don't want to look at them now, you don't have to. At some point, we'd ask that you make sure you look at it. These photos are not pleasant, and you may find that they're graphic. But what's important for you to know is that your verdict must not in any way be influenced by the fact that these photographs may be unpleasant or graphic. The defendant is entitled to a verdict based solely on the evidence and not based on pity or sympathy for Mr. O'Keefe, which might be occasioned by these photographs. So consider the photographs only as they draw your attention to a clinical medical status or to the nature of Mr. O'Keefe's injuries or to the nature of the incident itself. So they'll be displayed up on the screen for you as well.
Okay.
The last exhibit is exhibit 156.
Thank you.
Ms. Gillen, could you show the jury? And doctor, can you point out the injuries you were describing by using the diagram, or when you were using the diagram?
So the laceration, the small laceration that I previously described would be here on the right upper eyelid of Mr. O'Keefe. You can see some discoloration that's bleeding under his eyelid and what I would describe as swelling. The endotracheal tube and the neck collar are also present here. And the other injury, which I noted, was on the front and left side of his nose, which you cannot see here because this is looking at the right side of his face.
Okay, take that down, please. You mentioned that there was something about his eyes that was notable.
Yes, there was bleeding or hemorrhage, as we call it, on the eyelids, as well as swelling.
I'm going to ask you more detail about that later, but was that observation important in your ultimate diagnosis or conclusions?
Yes.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
I'm showing you another photograph. Do you recognize that?
Yes, this is another picture showing Mr. O'Keefe's face. Again, the medical intervention is present, and you can see more clearly now the discoloration on the upper eyelids.
Is this vantage point helpful for your ultimate conclusions and diagnosis?
Yes.
Your Honor, move this into evidence.
No objection, Your Honor.
Exhibit 157.
With the court's permission, I'd like to show this to the jury.
Yes.
P645, please. Doctor, could you point out what was significant regarding Mr. O'Keefe's eye area?
So I noted that there was discoloration, that's bleeding, that's blood, that's under those eyelids. The eyelids appear puffy, that's what we call edema or swelling. And then also there were two abrasions, two scratches on Mr. O'Keefe's nose. You can see one here and then the other one on the more front part of his nose.
Okay, could you take that down, please? If we could move down a bit to the chest and stomach area, did you make any observations about this area, Dr. Scordabella?
The observations that I made on the chest were that there was, as I mentioned before, there were defibrillator pads on the body, and there was an abrasion that's very commonly seen in people who have undergone resuscitation. Internally, that abrasion and the whole resuscitation apparatus was associated with some anterior rib fractures, which are also seen in cases of resuscitation, but I didn't make any other notes in terms of trauma on the chest or abdomen.
Okay. I'd like to move to the arms and the hands, if we could come down just a little bit. Let's begin with Mr. O'Keefe's hand or hands. Did you make any observations regarding Mr. O'Keefe's hand or hands?
Yes. On his upper right arm, I noted that he had a superficial abrasion. So it would have been, you can.
Can we move that down a little bit?
Move it down a little bit. Yeah, thank you. Doesn't seem to be doing a very good job. Okay, somehow doesn't want to.
Sorry if that's not working well.
It's projecting here, but not on the actual picture.
Okay. There may be a second pointer.
I can do it here.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So on the right upper medial arm, that would be the inner side of his arm, there was a superficial abrasion. Again, that's a scrape. Then on his right posterior arm and forearm. So not exactly on this aspect of the arm, but on the back side of the arm, which would be in the back of the diagram, there were multiple abrasions, which I described as ranging from 2 to 3 millimeters and up to 7 centimeters. Then, if you could move the diagram down, please. Again, there is a back to this diagram. I don't know if you could put that on the screen. There we go. So this is now the right side and this is the left. I noted that there were 2 bruises on the back of his right hand. Also a faint scratch on the back of his left hand. And then moving down to the lower extremities or the legs, if you could please show the front. There was a small abrasion, a small scrape on the side of his right knee.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Doctor, I'm handing you a photograph. Do you recognize it's in that photograph?
Yes.
What is it?
This is the back of Mr. O'Keefe's right hand, I believe.
Is that fair and accurate depiction of how his hand appeared when you examined him?
Yes.
Move this as evidence, please.
No objection, Your Honor.
Okay.
Exhibit 158.
With the court's permission, I'd show P647 to the jury. And could you explain, you said there were 2 bruises. Could you point those out for us?
Yes, there's one here and one here.
Did you attempt to assess those, determine whether you could conclude or opine on a cause of those?
No, I did not. Well, I take that back, I'm sorry. So this particular one has 2 small little pinpoint defects in the middle, which we sometimes see when emergency personnel tries to get access to a vein for fluids, for intravenous fluids. So, but I did not put that in my report. I just described it as a contusion.
Is it common to see that type of coloration where medical personnel put intravenous or other types of support into somebody's hand?
Yes, it's very common for the skin to bruise when someone tries to get access to a blood vessel.
The other coloration that is unrelated to those 2 small points, would you have a description of what those are?
No.
Okay. I'd also like to show you exhibit number 1. Exhibit number 1, please. Thank you. You use the word superficial. What does that mean?
Superficial means that the abrasion is on the superficial layers of the skin, usually the epidermis and sometimes the dermis, but there's no penetration of the skin.
When you're assessing to determine whether there's any penetration, do you measure the length of the wound or the abrasion?
Penetration would be measuring the depth. If there was actual penetration, I would have to measure how deep into the skin. For example, when we assess stab wounds, we have to measure the depth of the wound. In this particular case, you can see that these are scrapes or scratches, and there's no exposed underlying fat or muscle. And therefore, to answer your question, I measured their length and gave a range, but I did not measure their depth.
As a routine practice during an autopsy, doctor, if there was penetration or depth, would you, as a routine, measure that?
I would make a note of it.
Are there any such notes in any of your autopsy findings or reports about depth?
No, I did not make a note on the depth of these wounds.
Do you have an opinion to a reasonable degree of medical certainty as to how those superficial abrasions occurred?
I do not.
And I asked you about the hand, which we just saw, and I should ask you the same question. Do you have an opinion to a reasonable degree of medical certainty how that coloration, aside from the medical intervention, do you have an opinion to a reasonable degree of medical certainty how the other discoloration happened on Mr. O'Keefe's hand?
I can state to a reasonable degree of medical certainty that that's a bruise, a contusion, but I cannot tell you how it occurred.
And to summarize finally what we've been through so far, regarding the scrape on Mr. O'Keefe's right eye, can you provide an opinion to a reasonable degree of medical certainty how that scrape occurred?
No, I cannot.
You mentioned for us that when you looked at Mr. O'Keefe's legs, you observed bruising on his, or a small scratch on his right knee?
Correct.
I don't want to summarize it. Can you describe that more specifically?
Can we turn the lights on, please?
Thank you.
Yes, I described it as a half centimeter abrasion on the right lateral knee.
Did you see any marks or abrasions on his left knee?
No, I did not.
Was the mark scratch on Mr. O'Keefe's right knee on the inside or the outside of the knee?
It was on the lateral aspect, which would be the outside.
Thank you. May I approach?
Yes.
Doctor, I'm handing you a photograph. Do you recognize what's in that photograph?
Yes.
What is it?
This is a picture of Mr. O'Keefe's lower extremities, his legs.
Is it a fair, accurate depiction of how his knee appeared when you did the autopsy?
Yes.
All right, we'll go to the evidence, please.
No objection, Your Honor.
Okay.
Exhibit 159. Thank you.
With the court's permission, I'd like to show the jury 9467.
Yes.
You used the word lateral and you talked about abrasion or a scrape. Could you look at this photograph and could we enlarge it, Ms. Gilman, and could you point out to the jury and explain what it is that you saw?
Yes, you can see the abrasion here with a little bit of adjacent discoloration, but this is what I was describing.
If you could zoom back out, please. And you didn't see any similar type bruising or abrasions on the left knee?
No.
Is During your autopsy, did you notice any injuries internally to Mr. O'Keefe's rib area?
Yes, I did note that there were rib fractures on the anterior, that would be the front, of his fourth and fifth ribs.
And so would that be his left or right side?
It would be both the right and the left, and it would be the part of the rib that is closer to the sternum.
Is there a number of ribs that had fractures, or are they connected as one?
The fourth and the fifth, both on the right and the left, close to the sternum.
Have you, in your experience, seen ribs fractured during first aid or medical intervention?
Very often, yes.
Given your experience and your study of Mr. O'Keefe's body, do you have an opinion to a reasonable degree of medical certainty how those rib fractures were obtained?
I believe those rib fractures were due to resuscitation.
And you have that opinion to a reasonable degree of medical certainty?
Yes.
I'd like to show you a different diagram, one of the head area. If we could enlarge the bottom right. Thank you. Using that diagram, could you assist us, doctor, and explain to us any observations you made about the back of John O'Keefe's head?
Yes. The main observation was a laceration that is a skin tear on the back of Mr. O'Keefe's head to the right of midline. So this would be the midline. The laceration was somewhere here, is what we call the right occipital area. And associated with that, there was an abrasion over it that would have been here. So this was what we call a compound injury, an abraded laceration.
We'll turn in a few moments to your autopsy observations about the inside of Mr. O'Keefe's skull. But first, I want to just show you a photograph relative to what you described to us. May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Showing you a photograph. Do you recognize what's in that photograph?
Yes, this is a picture taken at the time of autopsy. This is the back of Mr. O'Keefe's head. The hair has been shaved off so that the injury can be clearly photographed, and it's a laceration with an associated abrasion.
Thank you. Your Honor, I move this into evidence.
Okay.
No objection, Your Honor.
Thank you.
When you examine the laceration, do you measure it?
Yes.
And did you measure it in this case?
I did measure it.
How long was the laceration?
I measured it as 2.5 centimeters, which is close to an inch.
Do you examine a person's body before you begin to intrude? Do you examine the outside of a person's body first, or is there a certain procedure or order?
Yes, the external examination is done first, and the internal examination is done second.
I want to show you that photograph that you just recognized, and I would like you to explain what you see to the jury. Ms. Gilman, with your assistance, thank you.
This is the laceration that I noted, and this is the scrape that's associated with it.
Take that down, please. After you make observations, what are your next steps in an autopsy?
The internal examination. After the external is performed and pictures are taken, then we proceed with the internal examination of both the, as I mentioned before, the torso, the body, as well as the head.
I'd like you to take us through the internal examination. Did you have a chance to look internally behind the laceration you saw on the back of Mr. O'Keefe's head?
Yes.
And when you did that, could you describe for us what you saw?
Yes. The way we examine the head is we make an incision with a scalpel behind the ear from one side to the other. That allows us to reflect or pull back the scalp, and that will expose the skull underneath. We do this carefully so that we don't disfigure clearly the face. And when we reflected and when we pulled back the scalp, I noted that there was blood, what we call hemorrhage, under the laceration or associated with the laceration on the back of the right head. And then furthermore, there were skull fractures associated with that laceration abrasion on the right side of the head.
Were the skull fractures in same or different area?
The skull fractures were in multiple areas of the skull, what we call the base of the skull. Imagine the base of the skull is sort of a bowl, and the brain sits on top or in the bowl. When the brain is removed, you can have a very good view of the base of the skull. So when the brain was removed and we were able to look at the base of the skull, I noted that there were multiple fractures that appeared to be originating from the area of the laceration, or what would correspond to the area of the laceration.
When you made your examination of the fractures in the skull, did that lead you to your opinion, or was there more you needed to look at before you came to an opinion about the cause of death?
Well, that was part of the findings that led to my opinion, but yes, I removed the brain, and as is our protocol, I saved the brain in a special solution called formalin that allows the brain to become a little harder so that our neuropathologist in Boston could go ahead and examine it. Because when I did look at the brain, I noted that there were injuries. There was bleeding on top of the brain. And therefore, I saved it. The brain ultimately went to our Boston office, and our neuropathologist, Dr. Stonebridge, examined it and issued a report.
Did you engage in any type of analysis on your own about any injury to Mr. O'Keefe's brain?
I noted the kind of injuries I could see superficially on the brain, and I have looked at the brain after it was fixed and pictures of it, but I did not issue a report on it The whole point was for our neuropathologist to examine it closely and issue a more detailed report.
I have a few more photos. Would now be an appropriate time for a break, Your Honor?
Yes.
So, jurors, why don't we take 15 or 20 minutes, okay?
Court all rise for the jury.
You are unmuted.
Thank you for asking.
We're back to session. You may be seated.
So you wanted to see me?
Yes, please, Your Honor.
Okay, over here or?
Please.
I'm going to give you those. Those were both marked for ID, so one will be coming into evidence and one will be a chalk, so you may need to give them, have them available for the witness. You can sit or stand wherever you're more comfortable, Doctor, for now.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.